Unsettled by the morning wave of slaughter, he ultimately held back a large portion of his available force from the fight. Lee, who sat atop Traveler but had an aide lead his horse by the reins because the general's two hands were splintered and bandaged from earlier accidents, scrambled throughout the day rushing what few reinforcements he had to patch holes in punctured lines. "The whole landscape for an instant turned slightly red," recalled a New York private. By nightfall, the two sides had fought to a draw, ending up pretty much holding the same ground they held at dawn. Cries of men in agony then replaced the boom of cannon. Civilians returned to property littered with corpses. Nearly 6,000 were dead or dying, and another 17,000 fell wounded, for a total casualty count of about 23,000, the highest for any one day of the war. It took soldiers 10 days to bury the bodies. Among the slightly wounded was Pinkerton's son Willie, struck in the knee by shrapnel from an exploding artillery shell. McClellan awoke Thursday morning, September 18th, believing he had fought the battle splendidly the day before, as he wrote his wife. With a force now of 62,000 Federals who had survived Antietam or had not fought in the battle at all, McClellan was in an ideal position to continue the attack on Lee's seriously wounded army, which had been reduced to about 36,000 exhausted and hungry men. But McClellan, who still could not risk winning for fear of losing, did not intend to be the first to move on September 18th, continuing to believe Lee outnumbered his weakened army. Pinkerton, whose operatives began counting Confederate casualties and prisoners, also still thought the Federals were outnumbered, and McClellan's decision to stand down that Thursday was sound. "Antietam had been a brilliant and decisive victory," he later wrote. Critics who faulted McClellan for not moving September 18th were people who fought the battle on paper.